One of the changes we've had to make in the Wharton household is to stop storing all of our chargers and cables for various devices in one drawer. Why? Well, because every time you go to get one of them out, somehow, whatever cable you go to grab, it's managed to wrap itself around every other wire in the drawer, and it takes a serious amount of time and fruit of the Holy Spirit to untangle them without entering into a blind, ugly rage. Often, my life can be like that drawer of wires, thoughts, emotions, and habits all tangled up in what seems like an incurable mess. And we don't just see mess in our own lives, we notice it in those around us. With some people, the mess is obvious. But others, on the other hand, they can do a pretty good job of hiding it through their wealth, achievements, good works, clever words, and by presenting their good bits while hiding the bad. For us, and for those around us, is there any real hope? Perhaps we've had a go at trying to untangle the wires in our own lives or in the lives of others, but to no avail. Self-help books and various systems of thought tell us that the answer for untangling this mess all lies within ourselves. Now, of course, there are some things that we can do to improve our situations and maybe even help other people too. But the message of the Bible is that what our mess ultimately needs is a Messiah. And perhaps there is no more powerful illustration of this than an encounter that takes place at the beginning of chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel. Now, moments before, Jesus has calmed the chaos and mess of stormy waters just with his words. And now he is about to encounter more mess and more chaos, but in quite a different form. In this passage in Mark 5, we are meant to notice just how much mess, chaos, and uncleanness is in play. Jesus is in a Gentile region, a place where Jews would not normally go. And there's a man, but he's dominated and afflicted by an evil and unclean spirit. This guy's life is a complete mess. He lives chained up like an animal in tombs, which again were unclean places for Jews. Nobody would go near this guy. He would cry out and cut himself with stones. We learn a few verses on that there were pigs in the area. Again, an animal unclean for Jewish people. Mark really wants us to see just how messy and unclean this whole situation is. So Jesus, he gets out of the boat and he's walking in the direction of this chaos. But he's not afraid. Instead of Jesus fearing the man, the evil or unclean spirit afflicting this man is terrified of Jesus and begs to be cast into the pigs. After Jesus sends this spirit, who turns out to be sort of multiple spirits, after he sends them into the pigs do a kamikaze mission into the lake. The pig farmers are troubled by this and they go and get everyone in the town to see what's going on. And when they all arrive, they see Jesus. And sitting at his feet is the man they once feared, the crazy one, the chaotic one, the unclean one. But he is unrecognizable. No longer is he crying out, cutting himself, naked, uncontrollable. Verse 15 says that when the people came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting back, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus, the Messiah, loves to help to clean up our mess. The mess of our minds, the mess of our emotions, the mess of our relationships, the mess of our finances. He loves to bring calm in our chaos. Sometimes I look at the mess in my life and it scares me. I see the brokenness, I see my weakness, I see my fears, my wrong attitudes, and I fear that they're going to stop me from becoming the person that God wants me to be. And to stop me from doing the good works that God has planned for me to do. I wonder if you ever feel like that as well. Well, your biggest fear is Jesus. I'll say that again. Your biggest fear is Jesus. There is no mess he cannot clean up, No chaos he cannot calm. So be confident and continue to invite him into your life to bring about radical transformation in your character and in your life. And maybe, like me, this encounter with Jesus rebukes you a little bit too. Perhaps, like me, you think about your atheist friend, that difficult person you see while you're out walking the dog, that completely unreasonable neighbour, that unnecessarily competitive colleague, and you think to yourself, they'll never change. So maybe today, when you see the person that you think will never change, why not stop and thank Jesus for them? Thank him for his ability to change you, and thank him for his desire and his ability to change that person as well. You'll probably find that when you pray for people in this way, it becomes much, much harder to think bad of them and to treat them badly.